Welcome into another edition of the Dana and Victory podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. I am Rick, Dan is with me, and the legend Brian Snow is on the other line. Xavier has a new head coach. Chris Mack obviously took the Louisville job. We talked about that, and in very short fashion, Greg Christopher made another hire, and Travis Steele is now the head coach of the Xavier Musketeers. Let's start with that search process, because I think it caught everyone off guard to a certain extent how quickly this was announced and the fashion in which it was announced. I'll be honest, that surprised me more than anything. Not that it got done so quickly, but that, you know, they didn't have four social media videos queued up and ready to be released as part of some great scheme. It was just one picture from Travis Steele's Twitter account that had no, like, photoshopping done. Brian, let's start with that process. How surprised were you with how quickly it was done?
You know, I was pretty surprised. I mean, I didn't figure it would be a long, drawn-out deal, but I also didn't think it would be 4 days. You know, I thought they'd get through the weekend. But, Greg found out what he needed in the interviews. He got his interviews done, and he said, why wait around? And yep. Then they took to the Twitter machine.
Part of what surprised me about it was, you know, Greg Christopher had used the Final Four basically as a job fair. We know that he conducted, well, according to statements he made to, I think, Shannon Russell of The Athletic, 7 full interviews while he was in San Antonio. But, you know, I mean, it's Easter weekend. You wouldn't expect him to be able to get whatever approvals he needed from Father Graham or other leaders at the school. The student body was on break. It's obviously an important holiday in the Catholic calendar. So that's what surprised me about it. I was kind of with Brian. I was thinking, yeah, right after the holiday, they'll come back. They'll have had this weekend in San Antonio. Maybe on Tuesday, they'll announce what they're going to do. But yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere in the middle of the day Saturday. Kind of a pleasant surprise, I would say.
I think, you know, we should talk about sort of how Greg Christopher approached this. And I think I was impressed by how prepared he was. I know he did so much research heading into the interview process, and it started before Chris even left and was going to Louisville when Xavier was in Nashville, and before they played, he had a group of the biggest boosters and donors meet together for dinner and get together the best possible offer for Chris Mack that they could. They weren't going to screw out, and they weren't going to wait and say, we'll wait for Louisville to make an offer, and then we'll make a competitive counteroffer. They went right to Chris after the season was over, after the Florida State loss, and said, here's what we can do. We want to do whatever we can to keep you, and we're committed to that regardless of what other offers come your way. And I thought that was a good move. I thought it showed that they were ready. And then as soon as Chris took the job, Greg knew what he wanted in the next head coach, and he knew that by the amount of research he did and all the people that he talked to. It was very much a no stone unturned type situation in terms of how he went about the process.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that impressed me with Greg is he didn't try to be the smartest guy in the room. You know, he from what we hear, you know, he talked to people involved, and you know, he got opinions, and it wasn't just him. It was like, all right, here's what I know. I'm going to go to people who have a different specialty, find out what I can find out while still in maintaining the integrity of the search. He got the information he needed, and he didn't mess around and made a decision.
And obviously, we mentioned earlier, 7 interviews is what they copped to. I think they said 12 people on the short list, 7 interviews. I think we have a good idea who at least 4 of those are. And these names will be no surprise to anybody who's followed the search. Obviously, Travis Steele, Winthrop head coach Pat Kelsey, NKU head coach John Brannon, and South Dakota State head coach TJ Otzelberger. But I mean, and folks are going to ask, well, who are the other 3? And unfortunately, the answer is we don't know, and we're probably never going to know. So maybe we can put that one aside right now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we don't know really. It's not all that important to find out. Reality is, it's what it is. Like, the last 9 years, no one's really cared who interviewed besides Chris Mack.
Well, let me ask you guys this about the search, because Brian, one of the things you brought up on the last show was that if there was a question mark about Travis Steele, it was his ability to go from being the number one assistant to being the head coach. And that's not just making decisions in game, but it's also, as Greg said during his press conference last Tuesday, it's about being the CEO of the program. And it sounds like Greg heard what he wanted to hear. I don't know if you guys have heard anything or have any insight into what, obviously we don't know what was said, but obviously it seems like Travis must have knocked that interview out of the park if the decision was made that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have no way to know it, but every bit of indication we could get says he had a really good interview, or else we wouldn't be sitting here right now having this podcast. So clearly Trav was prepared, and you know, he's a polished dude, and that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure everybody put their best foot forward in the interview process. These guys are all basically salesmen for a living. I would think they would know how to interview. So that doesn't surprise me in the least.
So I think we'll expect Travis Steele to be announced likely tomorrow or Wednesday. We haven't gotten word yet, but there will be some type of introductory press conference at Xavier over the next few days. I think the next thing to talk about sort of is how Travis and Chris Mack may be similar, how they may be different. Brian, I think the biggest thing here in terms of style of play, it's going to be very similar to what we saw with Chris Mack. Trav was heavily involved on the offensive end, kind of installed the offense while he was coaching under Chris Mack. And he's known as an X's and O's guy, especially on the offensive end. I don't think we'll see much change at all on offense. There may be some tweaks on defense, but I think even with Chris Mack, there may have been some tweaks on defense going into next year just because of the personnel that they have on the roster going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pack line, man-to-man, and they're going to switch. I don't think that really was going to change no matter if it was Trav or Mack, so I think that's what you see defensively. And then offensively, it has to change because you have totally different personnel. So what it's going to be the same concept, but spread ball screen stuff's not going to work as well when you're kicking out to Najee Marshall instead of Trayvon Blewett. So, I mean, the offense is going to be tailored to the personnel. Maybe it goes back to more of the two mark type of offense, which was more of a ball screen motion. And, you know, you go from there and just try to get your guys going downhill and finishing at the rim.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, is I could very much see it being similar to the offense we saw when you had Tua and Mark both playing, because you have that same similar two point guards on the court type of feel with Quentin and Paul Scruggs. But, you know, Trav did mention in a few interviews that he thinks defensively they could press a little bit more next year. And that's I definitely could see that. And I think that might have been the case with Chris Mack, too, just because of, You have to find a way to get next year's team out in transition a little bit. So it wouldn't be surprising if they did tweak a few things. But for the most part, I think that will be a result of who they have on the team and not necessarily philosophical differences between the two coaches. Are there any other differences you think we can expect between Steele and Mack?
You know, just kind of some of the stuff the fans see. You know, Steele's not going to be out there on Twitter like Mack was. You're not going to see videos of Winston rolling around the internet playing basketball or jumping into a pool or what have you. That's just not Steele. I'm trying to think how to say this. Like, he's not as outgoing in a big setting, but one-on-one, he might be actually a little bit more likable than Mack. Like, not to say Mack wasn't likable, he is, but like when Travis Steele has a conversation with someone, almost 100% of the time they come out saying, "That's a cool dude." With Chris, doesn't quite have that same like one-on-one dynamic that Trav does, but Trav's not the same in like, you know, the taking a selfie on the rim and putting it on Twitter and, you know, call me maybe and whatever, all that other crap. Like, Trav's not that. He's not going to be as good at that. That's just not him. And you can't change who you are, because then you turn into a phone.
Brian, Rick, you guys obviously have known Travis for a long time. You've seen him out on the trail quite a bit. What are we likely to see in terms of recruiting style, maybe, that would be different with a Steele administration rather than a Mac administration?
I think Steele's going to be a bit more aggressive. He genuinely loves recruiting. Now, as a head coach, you know, your time's more limited, but he genuinely likes it. Like, not a lot of coaches like recruiting. They do it because they have to. Like, Steele likes it. I think he could be kind of a Urban Meyer type where, like, he gets really, really involved in recruitments, whereas you didn't see that as much with Mac. He was more of a closer type of situation, whereas I think Steele's someone he's going to really lock in and just go for it. And that can be good and bad. You know, he can, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. So if you're spending more time recruiting, you're not spending your time doing something else. So, but I think that's one thing you might see from him is he's just someone who really enjoys the recruiting process.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I do think that is somewhat of a challenge and something you'll have to think about, you know, how much time you're spending on recruiting as a head coach versus the other details of the job, because you try to think about some of the head coaches who are known as those like ultra recruiter type guys. They're always on their cell phones texting, and you start thinking about the Josh Pastners and the Shaka Smarts. And I know back in the day, Billy Clyde Gillespie was labeled it, like some guys who have somewhat struggled when they've gotten their big opportunities. Can you think of some examples of like guys that people would say that about who are really good at coaching?
Tom Izzo would be one. People love to say Bill Self would be another, and people love to say Cal can't coach. Cal can coach. So, but I think Bill Self would probably be the best example of that.
Obviously Steele has to put together a coaching staff. Now he's going to be looking for assistants. We have a list of names on the message board right now of guys that I think will have been considered or will be considered. There's a handful of names there, but just generally, not mentioning specific names, what do you think Trav will look for in terms of what he's trying to get out of his assistants with their skill sets, their experience, and also their recruiting grounds, Brian?
In general, I think he's looking for an experienced staff. You know, Trav's not a moron. He knows this is his first head coaching gig. So having a bunch of 25-year-olds on your staff like he was when he got hired probably isn't the best idea. So I think that's one thing he's going to look for, is a decent amount of experience. I think he'd prefer one guy with at least some head coaching experience, but I don't think that's a deal breaker per se one way or the other. Then in terms of recruiting, I just think he's looking for areas that complement each other as opposed to just hiring everybody from that has recruited the same area. Obviously, at Xavier, your main area is going to be Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana. Those are the states bordering, and I guess, you know, Pennsylvania to some extent. So I think, you know, he'd want some guys with some experience in those roles. And then being in the Big East, it tends to make sense to have someone with some East Coast ties. So I wouldn't surprise me if he looked in that direction as well.
And another thing, Snow, is that you talked earlier about Travis's role in implementing the offense for Chris Mack's team. Do you think he'll look to find, I think, two profiles? Obviously, they're going to need somebody with a specialty in coaching the big men, but also more of a defensive-minded coach. Do you think he'll try to balance his abilities with those sorts of attributes from assistants?
Yeah. I don't think he just viewed himself as the offensive coordinator. You know, like, I don't think it's like, you know, like Steve Spurrier, where he would tell the defensive coordinator, like, hey, I'll see you on Saturday, you know, or one of those things. So I don't – if you're a basketball coach, you're a basketball coach. I don't know that that's going to be really something he looks at too specifically.
There are some things still being worked out with the support staff, who's leaving with Mac, who's staying with Steele. We've talked about more about that on the message board. You can find all that information there. Let's look ahead to the roster that's in place and what Steele's going to be dealing with. I think everyone wants to know, well, is anyone going to transfer? Are we going to have all of the returning players back? My thing with that is, like, guys could transfer, but at this point, I think it would be about the fact that guys transfer and, you know, there's someone that doesn't like their role or wasn't happy about his spot on the team coming back for next year, which when you look at next year's roster, there's a lot of minutes available. So I'd be kind of surprised if any of the guys really felt like they didn't have a chance to play next year. So my guess is no one's leaving at this point, but I wouldn't rule it out necessarily. It's possible someone does transfer, but it's not going to be as a result of, oh, they hired Travis Steele and I don't want to play for him type of situation. Would you agree with that, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think if one, every, let's be honest, the only kid on the, there's only six guys coming back. So, and in essence, five of them are starters or returning starters. I know Scruggs didn't start and Tyreek didn't technically start, but they played starter minutes. So in essence, you have five dudes that you know, you already know the starting five. It's not brain surgery. So the only guy who wouldn't be starting is Elias, and he can count to six real quickly. And if he thinks he's the sixth man, I don't see why he'd leave. So it's kind of pretty simple going forward in that regard. I wouldn't anticipate attrition in that way. I mean, the only guy you could possibly see leaving is Elias, and right now there's no indication that that's going to happen.
And then you have the recruits coming in for next year. Talk to Jake Walter. He's really excited about Travis getting the job. Travis was the lead recruiter on him, so nothing to be concerned about there. Dontarius James, Travis was the lead recruiter on him. He's tweeted out his support. He's excited. So, again, no concern. I did reach out to Keontae Kennedy. I still haven't heard anything. He's retweeted a few things, favorited a few things about Steele getting the job. There hasn't been an indication one way or the other, but as of right now, I think we expect all three recruits to be coming at the moment too.
Yeah, I mean, Keontae, I don't think Keontae's a done deal. I think Steele's going to have to go there and pay homage to Keontae and his family and do that whole thing. But as of now, it seems he's more likely staying than going. Certainly hasn't asked for his release, so that's a key indication. We'll see what happens, but I would say he's the only one who could be a quote-unquote flight risk.
I know you guys talked a lot about how essentially there's a clear starting five returning. Quentin, Paul, Najee, Kaiser, and Tyreek. And that's obviously it's going to be a thin squad, but it seems like it's a very talented and versatile squad and has the, at least with those five main guys, I think you have the opportunity to have one of the best defensive teams in recent memory at Xavier, even if obviously because of style of play, they may not, it may not look that way on the KenPom ratings. It seems like that group would be pretty uniquely talented for Xavier teams we've seen, say, over the last 10 years.
I can't remember a bigger, more athletic team. Now, I want everyone to understand that I didn't call it best team. I said biggest and most athletic. I can't recall one.
We also are, you know, you mentioned the defense, and for a lot of Chris Mack's tenure, we think about, like, for better or worse or whatever, he's going to, a lot of his career at Xavier is going to be tied to Trayvon Blewett and JP McKira. They both played such a significant role for 4 years, and for a lot of that time, both of those guys had to be on the court at the same time. That just puts you in a tough spot defensively, because neither of them could really guard, neither of them were laterally quick, and they're on two of like your two wing positions. So you really don't have a wing defender out there to match up with the other team's offensive weapons. I think just that, not to take a shot at those guys because they were really, really good and they gave you so much offensively and they made all types of plays, but not having to handicap yourself, I guess, on the defensive end with those two out there at the same time will be a big boost in general. And then you start looking at the guys that will be out there next year. And I mean, when you're talking like Quentin Gooden is possibly your third defender, or Kaiser Gates might be your third or fourth best defender in the lineup. Yeah, that's a pretty significant change from last year.
Yeah, I mean, it should be the best defensive team in recent memory. I certainly don't think it'll be the best offensive team or anywhere close, but it could be ugly, but I don't think it'll have much to do with the coaching change. It'll just have to do with the personnel change.
Right, because they would have to deal with this change in style regardless of who the coach was. Because you lose two transformative offensive players like Trayvon and JP, it's necessarily going to change the way you play. And you replace those guys with different skill sets and skill sets that are way more amenable to being a good defensive team than scoring a bunch of points and making a bunch of shots. I guess as I look at this, guys, I think for Travis – and once he gets his assistants in line, the most immediate issue is going to be that this team still has some significant holes that need to be filled before the season starts. And I think the two most obvious and two places where you're probably going to have to look graduate transfer because you need people who are available immediately is one, Tyreek Jones, Jake Walter, the only bigs on the roster. I think leading into this, when it appeared that Xavier was going to have Evan Boudreau, we would have said Jake's probably going to redshirt because he's probably not ready to play at the college level. As of right now, that's not really an option. So I think adding a big is going to be a huge priority. The other thing is this team just needs somebody who can hit threes. And obviously there's hope that Harden or Kennedy could step into that role off the bench. But to me, you probably want some insurance for that. So just a guy that can really shoot the ball from the two or the three spot would be the other priority for me. And this may not be the guy, but I would say a guy with a profile like, and I know I'm going to say a name and everyone's going to ridicule me on the board, but like a guy, if you look at the statistics of a grad transfer like Keyshawn Woods from Wake Forest, 41% three-point shooter, plays a two guard. So somebody in that profile, not necessarily that guy, I think is another potential important addition for this team. Where do you guys stand on what the number one priorities out the gate need to be for this 18-19 team?
I would just say another guard. I'm not as keen on adding as many big guys as humanly possible. I mean, to me, if you have to play Dontarius James at center, you're small and make them guard you. I don't really care. But I think they need another guard, another wing, another guy who can shoot. I would say that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, I'm actually with Brian on this one. I think people worry way too much about stockpiling three guys that are 6'10 or more. And granted, Xavier has done that the last 2 years where they've played kind of a three-man rotation at the five. But that's, one, it was kind of hard to do at times, I think. And two, it's just not necessary. Granted, Jake Walter might not be ready right away. But like Brian said, if you're playing Kaiser Gates or Dontarius James at the five, I don't think that's an issue. In fact, like in some cases, I think that might be the best spot for a Kaiser Gates. And we don't know about Dontarius James yet. We'll see him when he gets on campus. But he's a pretty thick guy and one who rebounds well, too. So I would expect him to be able to mix it up inside as well. I think you're right. They have to add shooting. I think that's going to be easier said than done because probably everyone in the country who's watching the NCAA tournament right now is thinking we need to add shooting. So we'll see if they're able to get that done. They were going to be aggressive in the grad transfer market as soon as the season ended, regardless of whether Chris Mack was the coach or Travis Steele was the coach. Losing Boudreau hurts them and definitely makes them a little bit thinner, but that would have been the case in terms of their aggressiveness on the grad transfer market either way. Brian, looking ahead to kind of how this affects 2019 recruiting, you've put some names out there on the message board. How do you sort of see this playing out right now? I mean, basically the guys that Travis was the lead recruiter for kind of remain Xavier's top targets, and then they've got to refill a bunch of guys with the new staff, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Samari Curtis seems like that's a good to go situation. I don't foresee him reopening his recruitment. Then, you know, a couple guys, Luke Anderson, who they had on a visit from Florida, high-level shooter from the forward spot. You know, then guards, Armand Franklin and Harlan Beverly. Beverly from Detroit, Franklin from Indianapolis. All guys that were top priorities that Steele was recruiting, and there's no reason to think he won't be recruiting them in the future. And then when he hires his other assistants, they'll bring names and areas to the table, and, you know, it'll be business as usual.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's so important to remember when there's a transition like that. It's like, yeah, the guys that Pegues and Murray were the lead recruiters for, or that Mack personally was kind of making that connection with. Those guys are off the board. But the new assistants, there's going to be three new assistants. Those guys may have their own targets. They may have relationships they've built. And if they've come, and if you've got guys that are coming to be on this assistant bench, I know some of those potential hires are currently at major conference programs. And so they may have guys like at the tip of their finger that they think would be perfect for Xavier. There may be some other guys who come from a mid-major level who have players that would have been a reach for them at their previous job, but now that they're at Xavier, it's a much more doable situation. I think when Luke Murray came to Xavier, we saw that dynamic play out. And it's happened over and over through the years as Xavier has had turnover in the assistants. So I mean, it certainly seems to me that with the amount of playing time that's going to be available and with a new staff, Xavier should be primed to really hit the ground running in recruiting this summer. Now, the visit limitation is an issue, but certainly you would expect Travis Steele to put together a very aggressive, very adept recruiting staff and try to get the and try to replenish the stores of talent in this program as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, unless you guys have anything else to add to the mix here, I think that does it for this edition of the Dane and Victory podcast, only available on MusketeerReport.com. For Dan and the legend Brian Snow, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.